we'll need it back again towards the end of the meeting. All right, so want to talk about our story, our future, and also we the guys have got put up the promise card, the front part of that. Can you take it in your hands for me, if you don't mind? Those of you who, I know some of you already started to fill this out, and just because we're not sure what's going to happen, obviously we had our miracle offering next Sunday, but because we're not sure what's going to happen, what we've decided to do at both locations is simply those who are here, we're going to fill in the Faith Promise cards as much as we can, and all the leaders in Kids Church, if we can let them know as well. And rather than try and make life easier for us in the office this week, and so we're going to try and do this today. So that's why, just in case. And we're still believing, we're still going to talk about our story, our future next week, and believing that we're still going to have church. But, you know, it's good to be precautious as well. And so we have this measure in place today. So I'd like to just have a look for the Wellard. We've got a Wellard slide, right, of what we want to do for Wellard. And so there's some things that we have. Oh, yeah, okay, let's do this first. Thanks, Donna. So we want to reduce our mortgage by $20,000. Who's glad we have a building for Wellard? That's pretty good. God's big, hey? And I don't know if you saw my video last week, or is it at Fremantle this week? It's probably at Fremantle. Did you see the video about that we are the only Australian? You did. So that's pretty cool. Some of you are wondering. So I'll just explain it. We are the only C3 Australian church to actually own its own campus facility. I think that's a big God. Can we give God a hand for that? How good is that? I was told by the executive this week. And Oxford Falls actually has Silverwater, but Silverwater was already running before they took it over. So we are actually the first. So how cool! I'm just like, wow, I didn't expect that. And so I want to thank the board and the people that we have, and God's so faithful. And I just can't get over what God has done with, and I'll probably tell a few stories today about our story, our future. But so anyway, we want to reduce our, who knows, when we reduce debt, we can buy another facility for another location. That'd be good. And so there's some roof repairs. Apparently this side, this wall over here, gets bad leaks in it. And so we've got to fix all that up. We don't know how much it's going to cost, but that's all part of our story, our future, so that we can keep our facilities humming along. And so that the guys on the sound desk don't get fried. I'm joking. But and also, I'd love to have air conditioning in Kids Zone. And so this is something I've said, guys, can we get air conditioning? Do you think we could help this year? In the next 12 months, we take our promise so that it's about 8,000. I've got a quote. We had a number of quotes actually, but the best one, and the guys at Allen Air that we used, they've come in for two air conditioning systems next door, two cassettes, I think they're called, on the wall, $8,400. And so we're going to believe that we're going to be able to put those in this year, ready for next, especially when it gets warmer later in the year. So that's another thing that we want to do just specifically for Wellard, to make this building more magnificent than it already is. And so that's a good thing to do, right? And so, all right. So let me preach for a little bit and before we take up the promise cards and get out of our seats and pop them back in the basket. So come with me to a passage of scripture that I felt God, a bit unusual, I guess, for this kind of an offering or this kind of season, but thank you. I think you'll get it once I start. And for those of you who have been at Frio last week, thank you for your understanding and revision on hearing it again. So Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." Can anyone give me an amen on that today? It goes on in verse 19. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." And so Jesus asked Peter an intensely direct and personal question. Who do you think I am? And there is no time for Peter really to evade this question. There's no escape. It's not like you could sort of brush it over. Jesus is standing there kind of eyeballing him. Who do you think I am? So I want to ask you today, who do you really think that Jesus is? Because I know who my God is, and I know that he's a strong and powerful God. And I know that he can do things that seem impossible, and he can actually turn our whole world around like that if he wanted to. And he will look after us because he's our God. And so we don't need to go to fear, we go to faith, because I know who my God is, and I have stories to tell of what he has done for me. And so do you, right? And so this is an important time for us to rise up as a person, I guess, in who we know our God is. Anyway, so Peter speaks to the disciples and the community to which he first addressed, and Peter speaks out. And he's saying, "I know who you are. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Do we agree with Peter this morning? You are the Messiah, you are the chosen one, you are the Savior, and you are the living God. You're not a dead God. You're not still nailed to the cross. You're not a religious God. You are the God who reigns in our lives. You are a personal God that has a relationship with us. And so what happens next is that Jesus, interestingly, confirms Peter's confession as a mark of God's blessing on his life. So I think we should give a confession today. Do it in your own words right here, right now, for about 15 seconds on who you see God as, because God wants to bring blessing into your life as you speak it out. So can we do that right now? Come on. Who do you see God as? Speak it out. Speak it out. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. Do you feel like faith rises when you speak? It does, right? Because God's real. He's in our heart. And so faith rises when we speak out, because what is in our heart, and it's easy to go to the negative, but God makes us go to the positive. And so that's important. And interestingly, Acts 2:24, when Peter's addressing the crowd after this event, he says, "You nailed him to the cross and murdered him." He's talking to the people in general, obviously the Jews. "But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life again." And I love this part. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. "For death could not keep him in its grip." Death could not keep him in its grip. And so when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" Jesus and the disciples were at Caesarea Philippi. I had a look at the location. This is interesting. Located at the base of Mount Hermon. So when Jesus talks to Peter, and they're at the base of Mount Hermon. Now, ancient literature confirms that this region was the gateway to the underworld. It was, they had actually 9 10-foot giants around Bashan, around this area, and it was kind of an evil place. And the Old Testament affiliates the region with a whole heap of idolatry and evil. And so, I guess for me, I mean, who likes watching good versus evil type movies? And good normally wins, right? generally. Sometimes it's a bit dark. Don't watch those kind of movies. Horror movies. Oh, anyway, so but when, you know, there's plenty of that around, isn't there? I mean, you only have to watch the Marvel comics or the Marvel shows that are on Netflix, and there's a whole lot of them. One that springs to my mind is Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings is quite I love it, because you have these all these evil hordes that seem to come out from the underground, a bit like Bashan, and so they come out from the caves, and they come out from all the dark places. Who knows that evil dwells in dark places? But God lives in the light. And right through, even people that are making these movies, it's interesting that God's got his hand on some of this stuff, because it's great when good overcomes evil, right? And so this is what this whole passage in Jesus has come is talking about. And Matthew 16:16, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Can we say this together? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Okay, so you, Jesus, are the one. You're the anointed one. You are no pagan god. Who's ever been to a country where there's this kind of statue lying on the ground that, you know, it's not that kind. Jesus is not that kind of God. He's a personable God. He's not dead. It's not made with human hands. And although the hordes of evil may think that they have won the battle and are causing up and stirring up strife right now, there is our Jesus that has already won the victory. And so the days of evil, as we know, are numbered, the Bible says. And so I thank the good Lord that you and I, we are going to be victorious, and we are going to be with him forever and ever. We're just passing through this world. And so that's amazing. I'm so grateful for what Jesus has done. And so Jesus says next to Peter, he says, upon this rock, this is I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And so Peter, the representative of the church in general, so that's basically, he oversees the church. On you, I will build my church. Who's part of the church here today? On you, I will build my church. Turn to your neighbor and say, on you, I will build my church. He says it because Peter's a leader. He says it to the leadership. On you, I will build my church. He says it to everyone. On you, I will build my church. And so we get a picture here of really that God doesn't show partiality. He wants everyone to be part of his church. On you, I will build my church. And so don't think you've got nothing to offer. On you, I'll build my church. Great seeing Dave get a little honouring today. And isn't it great seeing people rise in their giftings, whatever they are, wherever they are, people serving in kids' church today, and just on you, I'll build my church. And so first of all, I want to just say, first point, I guess, is blessing. Who realizes that God wants to bless you? He doesn't want to harm you. I haven't come to rob, steal, and destroy, but to, you know, the scripture. So it's interesting that the first miracle in the Bible recorded by Jesus is turning water into wine at a wedding. Wine was an essential part of the diet in the ancient world. And drinking wine symbolized peace and prosperity. And although excessive drinking, of course, was condemned. And so the host, who in this case was the bridegroom and the family of the bridegroom, they were responsible for bringing wine to the wedding feast. And the wedding feast typically lasted 7 days. We get away with it lightly. Your kids are growing up. Soon they'll be wanting to, they'll getting boyfriends. You know, I know Caroline's just had a wedding. I've just had one, and I've got another one coming in July. I'm so grateful that it's only one night or one day. You know, this is 7 days. That's actually quite a lot of food and wine, right? That's a lot. And the problem was, early on in the feast, the wedding ceremony, the wine ran out. I don't think it's something that you'd want to get wrong. Now, here's some reasons why. A successful wedding in the ancient Near East brought honor to the groom, his family, and the village where he lived. Who lives in Baldivis here? Anyone? So the whole of Baldivis gets honored because you do a good wedding. Who lives in Kwinana? Quite a few of you. The whole of Kwinana gets blessed or not if it's a bad wedding. Do you see what I'm saying here? This is a village kind of concept. And so needless to say, it's not something you want to get wrong. And Jesus does something quite remarkable. The servants go about their business filling the pots because mum of Jesus says, this, just do it. Go and do it. And they keep it all kind of secretive because obviously you don't want to bring dishonor to the family. You just got to get along, get it, and do the business as best you can. Who knows that it's better that to overlook a fault than and try and solve the issue? And if the mum of Jesus says this is what you're to do, just follow along. It's a good principle. That's another for another time, I guess. But you know, and so as we know, they produced so much wine that they had more than enough for the entire feast. And the master of ceremonies was just applauding how good the wine was. Now, this is really interesting because the bridegroom and his family, in my mind, they were stingy. Because you wouldn't have run out that early. And so, rather than addressing the issue at hand, though, Jesus just went about doing what his nature was and decided that he would just solve the problem. And who knows that you and I have little areas of our life that sometimes we don't quite get right. But Jesus overlooks them and he says, you know what? I'm going to bring blessing to your life anyway. And so when we think about our story, our future, isn't it glad that you can be a part of the house of God? And as we put God's house first, we are saying we're putting God first. And blessing is coming into our life because we're putting God first. That's as simple as it really we need to be here. There's no lack of supply for your life when Jesus is in your world. And so he favors those who put their trust in him. And God's desire is to bring blessing. And I just want to say this one thing before we move to the second point. Therefore, the church itself should be blessed in every way. Who believes the church itself should be blessed in every way? And if that is the case, we believe that the last thing we should desire to do is dishonor God and the family of God. And so like Jesus, you know, he sort of kind of goes, well, I'm not gonna go there with what the family did or didn't do. I'm just going to bring honor. And who knows that the church has all its little bumps and humps and difficulties sometimes in relationships, but God overlooks that and we get stronger because we overlook some things too. Secondly, a new identity. Peter is given a new identity by Jesus. And we know too that Peter identifies with Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Peter is declaring publicly that Jesus is both Savior and Lord. It is on this rock I will build my church. So what Jesus is doing when he says that is naming, founding, and commissioning Peter. When we make a decision for Christ, like the girls have today, God is saying, I'm pleased with you, I love you, and you know, I'm commissioning you to be one of my agents straight away. It's not like you have to wait. We're in this together the moment you accept Christ. It's amazing what God does for us, isn't it? It doesn't matter what's happened. It's a new day. And so one of the greatest attributes of the local church is watching people grow stronger in God. I've seen people grow stronger in God. It doesn't amaze me. It's just fantastic. I said hello to Bianca. in the foyer this morning. She's helping Marianne and Sean next door. And I've seen her. She loves being at 2YC in Kids Church. Amazing. I see other people in church. I mean, younger, I love it when you're up on stage worshiping God. And now you've got a friend with you. That's cool. You know, isn't it great watching people develop in church? It's what church is all about. And so we have courses, we have training, and we take his identity into our makeup the moment we receive Christ. And we become a rock in the church. Amazing. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in my life. Amen. There's this guy, because we're doing our story, our future, and I thought about this guy called Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was, the Bible says that he was vertically challenged. So I'm not sure exactly how tall he was, but he was short. And so he climbed a tree. And he got up the tree, and Jesus happened to see him. And he says, I'm coming to your place for dinner tonight. Now, Zacchaeus is the Bible says he's a tax collector. The Bible says that he's actually a crook. The people said, why are you going to his house? He's a crook. Why do you want to go to that guy's place? That's just like crazy. Someone put their basket there. And I think that there's quite an amazing part of this story, because he invites him, comes to dinner. The people are saying, "Oh no, this is wrong. This is not right." But Zacchaeus does an amazing thing, and this is really interesting. He says, I'm trying to find the actual verse. Here, verse 8, Donna. Zacchaeus joyously welcomed Jesus. So he's at his house and was amazed over his gracious visit to his home. Zacchaeus stood in front of the Lord and said, half of all that I own, I will give to the poor. And that's not all, he says. Lord, if I have cheated anyone, in other words, he has. You know, I have cheated. If I have. But look, he's trying to be as honest as he can. And he says, I promise to pay them back four times as much as I stole. Now, even if that's just like, he's taken on the nature of God. This is not just like, you know, oh, I'm just going to pay him back. I'll just pay back what I owe. He goes another step and says, you know what? I'm trusting my God. I'll pay back four times as much as I owe them. Who knows that this mean, nasty, stingy tax collector that was hoarding has now had a complete transformation? And that is our life. The moment we come to Christ, we should become a generous person because it's part of his nature. And so that's why we want to build God's house and keep it strong. Because it's his nature. We want to see God's house blessed. And so we go stronger when we put our life into God's hands and say, you know what, God, you own everything. I'm trusting you. And thirdly, we are a community in mission. Jesus says, on this rock I'll build my church, verse 18, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church. Not on the man, Simon Bar-Jonah, but on the one who confesses Jesus as Lord. Does anyone confess Jesus as Lord today? And so this is a really interesting. So, my church. Jesus says this is his church. Look around you. My church. My church. On this rock I will build my church. He is calling it his own. That's pretty special, isn't it? A magnificent expression regarding himself. Wow. And the gates of hell will not prevail, since whom we have within us keeps us on mission to build his church. And this is my concluding and favourite part of the whole of this passage. Verse 19, Matthew 16, 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Who feels stronger just reading that verse? And so Matthew is describing to us that the church, who's the church here today? We're the church, every one of us. The church, us, his community of disciples, and his kingdom are intimately bound. How does he establish his kingdom? Through his church. And so we have the keys of the kingdom. Whatever we loose on earth will be. Whatever we bind on earth, bound. And so we have the keys. We have the keys. Let me try and explain this in my own words. Some of you will know I have a motorbike. I didn't ride it today. The girls were worried that I might slip in the rain. But I have a Triumph motorcycle, and it's a fairly recent addition. Anyway, I went down to the Harley-Davidson dealership in Rockingham, not far from here, because I wanted to see this motorcycle that was getting all these really good reviews. And so I rode my motorcycle down there on my day off, and I just thought I'd go and have a look and see what all the fuss was about, because it was getting all these really good reviews. And so almost as soon as I got off my bike and took my helmet off, there was a salesman there, really kind of polite and just friendly, and just said, "How can I help you?" And I thought, well, I'd like to have a look at the Harley-Davidson Fat Bob, please. That was the name of the bike, Fat Bob. Not sure about the name, but that's what it's called. And so he said, "It's over here. Would you like to have a look?" I says, "Yeah, I'd love to have a look." So I went over to the bike and I had a look at it. And I thought, wow, this is quite a really nice motorcycle. And then he could tell I was suitably impressed. And so then he says, "Would you like it to take it for a ride?" And I says, "Yeah, I'd really like to take it for a ride." And so he goes and gets the keys, because they've got all numbers, because there's a lot of bikes. He goes and gets the right key. He brings it back and he goes, "You know what? We're not that busy right now. Why don't you take it for an hour or more?" And so I said, "Yeah, I'd like to do that." And so then I thought, I better give him the keys to my humble Triumph. And so I went to give him the keys to my... He goes, "No stress, mate. Just go for a nice ride, bring the bike back, whenever." I'm like, okay, I'd like to do that. So I jumped on this Harley-Davidson, which is worth more than most cars. And I rode off and I couldn't get the grin off my face. And I'm riding, and I thought, well, I've got it for over an hour. I might as well test it. And so I'm doing some swervy bits, and I'm going around corners like I was 20 again, sticking to the speed limit, of course. And I rode up to Serpentine, in fact, and I was really starting to feel like this is my bike. You see, what he had actually done, he had given me the power and the authority of the Harley-Davidson. And I don't know if you're getting this yet, but God has given you all the power and all the freedom and all the blessings in your life. He has given you the keys. And so right here, right now, God wants to bring blessing into your life. And so that's just so cool. And so I did eventually take the motorcycle back, by the way, and I got back on my humble Triumph, and that was that, because I didn't have the money for it. But it's not about that. I was given. God's given us everything. Here's the keys. No stress, mate. Here's the keys. As soon as we make a decision for Christ, here's the keys to the kingdom of God. In Luke 11:52, what sorrow awaits you experts in religious law? For you remove the key to the knowledge from people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. Can we thank God that we're not a religious person? That we are not conforming to the way that a man thinks, but we are free because God has set us free. And we're not going to manipulate someone else. We're not going to control someone else. We are going to live in the freedom that God has given us and be blessed. And so it was actually through their hypocrisy, so sad, that they missed out, Jesus says, in the kingdom of God. And so we don't have to ask for the keys. We've been given them. And so those keys bring satisfaction to an otherwise hurting, and who knows, our world's hurting right now. And we have the keys. We have the keys. You have the keys. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have the keys. You have the key. That's right. And so our story, our future. Grab your card, if you will. And I probably need to give you a bit of time just to fill it in, because we're going to try and do this in case we do get closed down next week. And if you haven't done that, just take some time. I'm going to give it a moment to fill that in. And our story, our future is not just an offering. We are giving people the keys to their best life. And so, Father, today, I thank you for the freeing nature of who you are. And I thank you that we can take on your nature and be the kind of people that possess the kingdom of heaven. And that we can bring freedom to other people's lives as we build your church. And the people of God said, amen, amen. Let's have the music team just, if you could just play for me. We're going to fill in our cards. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. I forgot to pray. Just remembered then. And we're going to... just give me a wave if you're ready to give. Give me a wave. Okay. Who's still writing? You need a few more minutes? Okay. So right here, right now, while we're doing that, those of you who just continue writing, I just want to, why don't we just be prayerful right now at this time? Stephen, why don't you come and join me? We'll do this now, and then we'll ask people to bring the cards.